Hey, welcome to the Intentional Living Center today, Dr. Randy Carlson, and we are live here today, and I think we're going to do something a little unique, different, and powerful for you. If you have young people that you love and you're watching them go off to college and start their life, and you wonder how concerned about this next generation, often referred to as Gen Z, right? We have a pastor here who has a full-time ministry right near the college campus of University of Arizona, who's given his life to reaching this Gen Z group of people who need to know the Lord Jesus. And so Chris Cummins is here. He's the pastor of Doxa Church. And welcome, Chris, to Intentional Living.
Yeah, glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Doxa, that's Greek for?
Glory.
Glory, that's right.
Yes.
And many of you listening will be singing that doxology, right?
That's right. In your church.
Yep. Every Sunday, not all. I think we should sing that more often.
Yep.
That's a great, great way to worship the great doxology, bringing glory and honor to the Lord Jesus. So welcome to Intentional Living, and I was sharing with Chris, so we wanted to do this today because I know many of you listening are parents, maybe grandparents, and you have a Gen Z in your life that you love, and maybe they've gone off to college or will be soon, and you're concerned about what you're seeing. I know we've probably got college pastors and those of you who minister to this generation listening, you want to join in. We'd love to hear from you. How can we be effective in reaching this generation, which has been in clear focus in the last several months, especially since the tragic death of Charlie Kirk, whose office is right up the road here, and of course, one of our areas in Phoenix. And of course, Charlie really, through his own work on the college campus, we see so much in the news about young people turning back to the church. We see it in our church, and I'm sure you've seen it as well in your ministry. So we're going to talk about that. Love to have you join in at 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717. First, Chris, tell us about yourself and what brought you to Tucson to do a ministry near the college campus.
Yeah. So back in 2019, my wife and I started feeling called to go plant a church. We didn't really know where. What we knew was that we wanted to plant a church in a collegiate setting. For a lot of different reasons, we believe that the college campus is the most strategic mission field in North America. I was a college pastor for about 8 years prior. And so we started feeling that call that God was moving in our life. At the time, we were fostering our four kids that are now adopted into our home. And so the state doesn't really like you to move when you're fostering kids, especially yeah. outside the state. And so we just spent a lot of time praying, God, where would you have us go? And it became clear over the course of time that Tucson, Arizona was that place. And so back in December of 2022, we moved our family from Texas to Tucson and spent about a year and a half getting to learn the city, building a team. And then we launched Doxa Church August of 2024, right across the street from yeah. the University of Arizona. And God has been doing a phenomenal work. We launched with one service a year and a half ago. And this past Sunday, we just had our first Sunday at three services. And God is just doing some incredible things. And especially amongst Gen Z, about 60% of our congregation are college students at the University of Arizona.
And what are you hearing from these young people when they come? Why do you see this great interest right now, especially?
Yeah, I think college students, especially young adults, are just hungry, I think, for truth. We've read a lot of the reports about Gen Z, a lot of people labeling them as the open generation and things like that. And I think really what kind of comes down to a lot of it is they kind of grew up in a society that was really pushing secularism towards them. And as they tasted that for themselves, I think they began to realize, hey, there's something that's not life-giving here. And so what they have done is they've started to go look for legitimate truth. And they've been finding it in the church and finding it in Christ. And so what we've been seeing is Gen Z right now in North America is the generation that attends church more frequently than any other generation, yeah. Which is a complete reversal of previous trends. If you look at the last four generations, Christians. It's just all four have just become more and more and more unchurched and dechurched. And Gen Z now is leading the charge of getting back to church. And so I think there's just a lot of hunger in them for truth. And I think the church is giving them truth and they're finding life in Jesus.
I heard a stat that Gen Z was reading the Bible more than baby boomers.
Yeah, yeah, they are hungry for it. And so a lot of them have just been, they've grown up in a society that said, hey, this is what's truth, this is what's life-giving for you, and they've practiced those things. And then they've realized, I'm still empty in the midst of practicing this. And then I call it backing into Christianity. It's like, I'm going to try the secular things, and then, it's not giving me life. And now I'm going to try some of these things that the Bible is clearly telling me to do. And now I'm finding life in these things. I'm finding hope in these things. And that's what's leading them back to the church, is they're realizing, hey, there's something about Christianity that truly is life-giving. When I apply the practices of the Bible, it's changing me and it's giving me life. And so we're seeing a lot of that across the country.
Gen Z now, for those listening, what ages? You're talking basically teens through the 20s, basically, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like 15 to 30, that range of age?
Basically. Yeah, probably mid-20s-ish, maybe on the top side of that, maybe somewhat late 20s. But that's your range. Basically, think college students right now, high school students, we're talking Gen Z.
As a pastor reaching this generation, what are they looking for when they come to church? I mean, is it entertainment? I mean, I've been through all these ages where churches have to push certain buttons and do certain things to get people in, to keep certain people. What are you all doing to keep this young generation coming back?
Yeah, I'll tell you this. At Doxa, we certainly don't do anything flashy. We keep things pretty simple. We just preach the Bible.
That's a clever idea.
Brilliant idea, right? We are just walking through verse by verse books of the Bible to just share the hope of Jesus with these students. And honestly, I think that's what they're looking for, is they want to know what the Bible has to say. They want to know the life they can have in Jesus. And so we're just giving them Jesus. And so we have some other things on the back end of like some discipleship things that we're doing in our church to raise up this next generation to become leaders in the church and to be sent out into the harvest and to labor for the gospel, all those kind of things. But I mean, for us, I mean, it's nothing really special to quote unquote to attract them. We are we're close to campus, which is helpful. We got a lot of students that can walk across the street. But more than anything, we're just preaching Bible.
Sounds good to me. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. I'll tell you what, when we do, I want to share, we got some calls that people have left. They've got concerns for their own kids, prodigal, leaving the faith. What are you finding? The ones that are coming, they get turned off at the church? Are they church background kids? Are these ones that are truly never know anything about the church? We'll find out about that. You're welcome to join in. Maybe you have a campus ministry. Maybe you have a question that you'd like to ask Chris, as the pastor of a church that's reaching hundreds of college students today. 888-888-1717. And I have a list of about 10 cities here that we're covering right now on Intentional Living that are on the top 100 list of post-Christian cities in America. In other words, your young people in their high schools and in their online are not being influenced maybe with the same kind of values that you were or I was when we were younger. So don't go away. We're talking about the Gen Z and reaching them for Christ. 888-888-1717.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Now, I have a thesis that I want to share with you this month. This is for all of our donors, for all of our members of the Intentional Living family, and for the staff, something that I believe. And I've seen over years of counseling and working with people, and frankly, I've seen it in myself, and here it is. The weakest person in a relationship controls the relationship.
Now, when you have friendships, you can kind of deal with those. You can put, you know, some boundaries in place and barriers, or maybe separate as a friend and go in another direction. But when it's someone that you're close to in your family, what is it when you have an emotionally weak person that's your parent or your sibling or your spouse or yourself?
Live from our Intentional Living Center today, Dr. Randy, along with Jennifer and Stephen, and we have a special guest here from Tucson, a pastor, Chris Cummins, who's the pastor of Doxa Church. Some of you sing the doxology in your church, bringing glory to God, honor and praise to Him. And this young man, he's young to me, has a passion for reaching campus, you know, the young people on the college campus. Of one of the best campuses in the country, University of Arizona.
That's right, Bear Down.
Any basketball, college basketball fans will know that we're number one.
We are number one, unanimously.
Now, I know our Michigan listeners are not too thrilled about that. Sorry. anyway, this is true across the country. It's not any college campus reaching this next generation. Post-Christian cities, cities where on the top 100 list of post-Christian, Santa Barbara, California,
mm-hmm.
Tucson, number 16.
That's right.
Boise, Idaho, Detroit. Come on, Detroit, 28. Flint, Michigan, Phoenix, number 47. Minneapolis, where we're on today. Albuquerque, Traverse City, Lansing, Kansas City, all in the top 100. What's the impact on this generation, Chris, of being post? What does that mean, being post-Christian? Actually, post-church, aren't they?
Yeah, the idea of post-Christian is really kind of an anti-Christian, anti-church posture is really the idea, that church was something that was a part of our history, but is no longer needed like for the future. And so it's just kind of that mentality, more anti-Christian, anti-church kind of mentality. And in a lot of ways, that culture is predominantly discipling our young people. That's what they're seeing on social media. That's what they're seeing and hearing in their classrooms and at school and all those kind of things. And so that is the culture that is mainly influencing Gen Z currently.
Mm. All right. We got a caller from Georgia. Karina, welcome to Intentional Living. How are you today?
Hi. Thank you, Randy. I'm fine. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Go right ahead. What's your question or comment?
Right. Well, I'm a 60-year-old mama grandma. I homeschooled 5 children and raised them all. I've got 3 in their 40s and 2 in their 20s. And my 18-year-old and the 21-year-old just currently told me they have lost their faith. And I wanted to encourage some other parents, because that's a pretty shocking statement when you raise a child in the church, raise them with the word, and for them to just pop up one day and tell you that, you know, can be frightening. It can be a panic for most parents, I think. But since I'm a little older and a little bit more chilled, my husband and I are taking it in stride. And, you know, as I was seeking the Lord about this, we all, you know, pretty much claim the scripture, you know, me and my household shall be saved. But the Lord just took me to a verse that really kind of shocked me. And it was that one that says that no man will pluck you out of his hand. And that just really gave me a firm foundation. It really just brought me back to, you know, He's the one that drew them in the first place. Yeah. He's the one that's holding their heart. And we don't have to freak out and scramble around and get into a lot of strife in our home when our kids start questioning.
Absolutely. And that's a matter of real prayer, isn't it? And thank you for the call, Corinne. I was thinking, Chris, when you look at the number of college-age students that are coming, what are they telling you? They grew up in Christian homes? Did they reject the faith for a while? Or they've been faithful? I mean, what are you hearing from these young people?
Yeah, I mean, kind of all over the map, right? I mean, there's some that are coming in that they came from faithful Christian homes. Their faith is thriving and they're doing well. There's some that they didn't grow up in that home at all, but they're hungry and curious for truth. And there's some that grew up in a Christian home and they get off to college and they experience the freedom that college brings and they want to dive into that freedom. And we've seen a lot of college students that they jump into that freedom. They do the typical college route. And then over the course of time, they become more awakened to where they currently are in their walk, and they start coming back to the church over the course of time. And so we've seen plenty of that as well, where you get a sophomore or a junior or a senior who's like, man, I came into college and I feel like I've just been wasting my life here, and they're starting to turn back to the Lord in those seasons. So we kind of see that whole range for sure.
I'm going to share a call. This was Jacob from Colorado. He called a while ago and left a comment. He said he was a prodigal, and I want you to comment on this afterward about what do you think about a parent who has a prodigal and maybe they're going off to college? How do they approach it? Take a listen.
I'm a prodigal. My mother raised me in the church, and I was following it, but it never wasn't mine. It wasn't my thing. It wasn't my relationship with the Lord, and I got into a whole bunch of bad stuff, drugs, and all kinds of stuff, and she let me go. She prayed and said, Lord, he's yours. Take care of him, and the Lord brought me back. And not only that, he created in me a deeper, stronger intimacy that I've never ever experienced before, and it went from it being her God to he's my God, he's my Lord, he's my Savior, I depend on him, I need him, I love him. You know, it became a personal relationship with me and him because she let me go. It works. Trusting God with your children, it really does.
Hard thing to do, my brother. That's a hard thing to do, because you know, we know where that could lead. Do you find that what Jacob was saying, the parents said, hey, we love you, but we're just going to back off, and then he found it? I mean, maybe, I don't know if it was a college or come into a church like yours, but do you find that parents can overpush and they need to back off? What do you recommend for a parent who's struggling with a Gen
Z? For sure. Yeah, I think the temptation can be the helicopter parent that's just kind of circling around their kid as they're going off. And rarely have I seen that be fruitful and helpful. But I have seen constantly the fervent prayer of moms leading their kids to faith over and over and over again. I had a friend of mine who, this was his story, went off to college, grew up in a Christian home, went off to college, just started to run the opposite direction. And mom was really trying to like push and push and push towards Christ. And he got to the point where he literally told his mom, like, hey, if you keep saying these things, like I don't want you in my life anymore. Like, it got to that degree, and she agreed in that moment. Okay, I'm going to stop pushing. I'm going to lean towards prayer, recognizing that prayer is the work here. And then over the course of time, little by little, God just began to break down his heart, and he came to faith in Jesus, leading his family to faith in Jesus. Uh-huh. I mean, just a complete shift. And so I would certainly say, like, don't underestimate the power of faithful prayer from moms and dads. Because they can truly change a kid's life.
Absolutely. And I think some parents, maybe grandparents listening, Chris, feel like they're just irrelevant. What do you find? I mean, you got this tech-savvy generation. I mean, they're the first generation that really grew up totally 100% with technology.
Yeah, they grew up online.
And they look for authenticity. I know that's a big part of this generation. And very value-driven, and they have maybe certain values and things are a little different than the grandparents, and the grandparents are wondering, how do I connect with them? I don't know. Do you have experience where grandparents make a difference in the lives of these young people?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think, like, the idea of relevance, like, even as a grandparent, you have something that's relevant for every single generation, and what you have that's relevant for every person is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And these Gen Z grew up in an era of, like, man, their life was fully online from almost day one. Now AI is a big thing, and they're wondering what is real and what's not real.
Yeah.
And to be able to just give them real, you know, authentic, this is the gospel, is such a huge influence for sure. And so they're looking for authenticity. They're looking for what's real. They're trying to discern really what is true and what is false, what is real, what is fake, all those kind of things. And so, like, you have that. And so I think they're open. They're ready to listen.
You know, I was looking, reading that a lot of the Gen Z are going back to church looking for more orthodoxy. They like the structure.
Yeah.
Do you see that as well? They like the predictability of the structure of the church.
Yeah. Yeah. No, totally. I think we're kind of in an age where it was like the church kind of moved towards like, let's be the church in the shopping center. And like, we kind of got rid of kind of older tradition. And like, I think there's something really rich about that, that, I think Gen Z really wants. So, I mean, like, even at Doxa, we do communion every single week. We stand for the reading of God's word. We stand at the end of the service for a benediction, like all those kind of things. Like in a lot of ways, we celebrate a lot of those kind of former traditions, if you will, of the church. And our college students are loving it.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Baby boomers want to know your address.
Yes.
Because I think that's true. You know, we grew up in the seeker. How do you respond to that? There was... 20 years ago or so, real emphasis on the seeker sensitivity. And I appreciate that. I understand we want to reach people, but maybe we lost some of, in the process, trying to entertain or connect, we lost the gospel. And like you say, this generation wants just authenticity and the truth.
Yeah, I mean, I think every movement has its pros and cons. You know, there's a lot of great things from the seeker sensitive movement that I think we could learn from and apply in the church today. And then there's some other things, you know, I think what people are wanting is they're hungry for the word. And I think you're seeing that in the younger generation. And I think the more we can lean into that, even some of the, like some of the older traditions of the church and hymns and things like that, they're just rich doctrinally in music, I think are really connecting with people because it's just, it's so rich of truth. And that's what they're hungry for.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We're running out of time. We're going to come back. Let's address some of the myths of being a Gen Z. We hear that their work ethic is different and they have different views on values and finances and things. Maybe you can tell us what they're thinking about, what you know and what you hear. And also, I know one of your passions is getting laborers into the field. Let's get out there and reach people. How do we do that? We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Is there a person in your life that's difficult to love right now? In Dr. Randy's teaching, Love the Emotionally Sensitive, you'll learn how to care for emotionally struggling people while remaining healthy yourself.
How do we love an emotionally sensitive person? We are to be long-suffering, we're to be kind. Also, we've got to be intentional. If we're not intentional in dealing with a person, you're going to get sucked right into the emotionality of the relationship.
Start your year right and support intentional living with a monthly gift. When you do, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message and get unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. Don't miss out on this special New Year opportunity. Give now and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Talking today with Chris Cummins, who's the pastor of Doxa Church and in Tucson, right near the campus, just yards from the University of Arizona, and has a passion of reaching college students, 45,000 students on the campus at University of Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And how many of them are coming over to see you every Sunday and hear the word?
Yeah, there's about 300 to 400 college students that attend our church on a weekly basis.
So you still have some more to pull, don't you?
We got a lot of work to do. Yep.
That's great though, and of course this message is true across any college campus anywhere in the country where we have Gen Z. You know, when you read the stats on Gen Z, we hear that they're always on their technology. They have a different view of the finances, different work ethic. What has been your experience of this culture?
Yeah, I think Gen Z really wants to make their life count, and they want to really lean into something that matters long term. And so even at Doxa, we've been sharing this vision in our church of, hey, we want to send out church plants and laborers into the city of Tucson so that we can reach one of the most post-Christian cities in America. And they have just gravitated towards that and locked arms with that. They want to be a part of something far bigger than themselves. Even at Doxa, we're seeing that church membership in our church is thriving with college students. Like, they want to belong to something like that. And so they want to give their money to that. They want to give their time to that. We got college students that wake up at 6:30 in the morning to help us set up chairs for Sunday morning. They want to invest their life in a way that's going to make a true, genuine impact.
Amen. What do you say to, we got pastors and churches all around the country that would say, I'd like to reach this generation a little more. And where do they start?
Yeah, I think, I think a big thing for Gen Z is, one, helping them see how to really commit to the mission that God's given the church, okay? While at the same time, I think giving them ownership within the church. Then in a lot of ways, Gen Z, yes, is the future of the church, mm-hmm. future leaders of the church. They're also the church right now. So giving them some ownership, giving them some leadership positions, creating pathways to disciple Gen Z so that they can be the leaders of the church even beyond us, you know, I think are some really helpful key ways to really invest in this generation that's going to continue to invest in the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. So ultimately, I think a big thing is to give them a God-sized vision for their life and how that connects to the local church yeah. and how what it means to be a part of it.
One thing that listeners today, maybe their parents, grandparents, they have a Gen Z in their life, their family. What's one thing they should be doing that would be helpful from your perspective for these young this young generation?
Yeah, I mean, like we said earlier, man, I would pray. You know, the prayer of parents goes far mm-hmm. in the life of their kid. And so I would certainly lean into prayer, would not shy away from the gospel. You know, they want the authentic, real gospel. And so give them Jesus, be faithful in prayer. Don't try to nag them into the gospel, if you will, but share Jesus with them and just constantly pray and let God do what God does as the gospel is shared. That's how disciples continue to get made.
And let me add for parents, grandparents, the young every generation, this is true, but especially Gen Z, they're watching you. Your actions are more important than your words. And if they see it's not real in your life, and then you try to share with them that it is real, they're not going to buy it.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's not about perfection. We're talking intentional living here. And by the way, intentional living, there's not one thing you and I can do that's intentional enough to get saved. It's totally by the Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bible's clear. It's by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, lest anyone should boast. But it doesn't stop there. It goes on to say, but you're a masterpiece. You've been made for good works. And so as followers of Christ today, maybe as parents and grandparents, maybe the good work you're going to do is to live your faith intentionally in such a way that this generation sees a difference in your life and make yourself available. There's resources that you have that can reach out to maybe a church like Doxa. I mean, I'm sure the young people, their tithing is going to be pretty, yeah. pretty small. But anyway, there's probably opportunities in your own communities around the country to reach out and support ministries that are reaching this next generation. If you're willing to stay, we're going to record a show that will air next Monday. How's that sound,
Chris? Sounds great.
All right. And if you'd like to share a comment, you're welcome to do so at 888-888-1717. Intentional Living is a ministry of Intentional Life Media. And thank you for your prayers and your support to allow us to do what we do every day from our Intentional Living Center. Have a great day.